Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Next man up, 102.5, the game final hour on this Wednesday. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, broadcasting from the Busy Bee, Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Big thanks to Corey Curtis for joining us in the last segment. Couldn't join us in studio today. We miss Corey, but know that he's got to be out there as he's doing sideline for the Titans broadcast tomorrow. Titans and 49ers preseason opener tomorrow night, 8 o'clock kick on News 2. Talking with Corey there, I asked him about the decision from Robert Saleh to play the starters tomorrow. And he said everybody who's healthy is playing. So you would expect no John Franklin Myers, no Jacob Martin, probably no Cordell Flott. But if you're saying everybody who's healthy is playing, that means Jeffrey Simmons going to be out there, which I would have thought would have been unlikely. Kyle Shanahan said he felt like his starters got the work in that they needed yesterday, and they probably won't play tomorrow night. So it's going to be the Titans starters against a lot of the 49ers backups. And Robert Saleh did say that he thinks the starters are going to play more than just one series. You think this is the right choice for the Titans, taking the experience, the game reps, over possibly playing it on the safer side and avoiding injury?
Kinda. I am surprised that Jeffrey Simmons is going to be playing tomorrow. But at the same time, they haven't brought anybody to the ground yet, and you don't want the first time that they're full on tackling to be week one.
Apparently the 49ers were bringing people to the ground yesterday.
Well, true. But I mean, they're not supposed to, technically. Yeah. But I don't know. I'd want my guys to, like Cam Ward, I want him to get hit a little bit. Not a lot, but get hit a little bit so that the first time he doesn't get hit is an actual game. That's just kind of my thinking on it. But it doesn't have to be a lot.
Yeah, and he was vague, right? Saleh said more than a series. I think Cam Ward said yesterday that he's excited to play multiple series and get into a rhythm out there. And I think there's a lot of value to that. I think there is value, especially with so many new pieces. You've got Carnell Tate and Wandale Robinson at wide receiver. You've got a couple of new pieces on the offensive line, too. I like the idea of having those guys gel and get into a rhythm out there, get into a groove in a game situation. But you remember back, we're gonna harken back a couple times in this final hour to that opener in Tampa last year. Tajay Spears got hurt on the opening drive, or maybe it was the second drive. Little screen pass out to the left. He rolls his ankle. He's out for basically half the season. I understand injuries are a 100% certainty in the NFL, and they're going to happen. I think you've just got to be careful, especially with how physical the 49ers were yesterday in the joint practice. You really don't want to lose any key players, especially Cam Ward, obviously, or anybody on this offensive line, because you're already thin there as well.
And I could also play the contrarian and say if the first time they're getting hit is in a game setting in week one, you're also setting them up to get injured. So there's no perfect way to do it.
Right.
They don't have to. They could play two series and be completely fine. They could play one series. I'd probably play the starters for two. But with this rotation, Jeffrey Simmons is probably just not going to be out there a lot, naturally.
When he says everybody's going to play, I find it really hard to believe Jeffrey Simmons is going to be out there for 10 or 15 snaps tomorrow night. I bet he gets on the field, but they're going to be very careful with how they use
him. He could play five snaps.
If that, right? Like, run him out there for a series on third down, let him go get his hands on somebody, try and go get after the passer, and then pull him and put him in a baseball cap. Like, I do not need to see Simmons at all, but if you want everybody to play, just, I would say the leash needs to be super short on him. I've said it all week about the offense. I think it has to be a feel thing for Robert Saleh and Brian Daboll. I think there's going to be a moment tomorrow night where you know that it's over and you got to pull him. Whether it's good and Cam Ward and the offense are in a groove, which kind of should be playing against backups. If they can go down and score on the first drive and you've got some confidence and you got some rhythm, I don't need to see anymore. Take them out and make sure that you don't have any injuries. There also may be a point, if things are not going well, that you say, you know what, let's call it a day. Maybe they go out for two or three series in that situation. I do think it's a feel for Dable and for Saleh, and they're going to know when the night is over for that first team offense in Cam Ward.
Yeah, because with Jeffrey Simmons, you'd think that maybe him and John Franklin Myers, because John Franklin Myers has been dealing with the back thing, those are the two guys that you were not going to want out there really at all. So I wonder what their reps are going to look like. And two, the offensive line, since we're so concerned about them and they haven't really played next to each other a whole lot, you'd want them out there as much as possible, it seems.
Yeah,
like.
And I do wonder what the right guard situation looks like, because as we talked to Corey about, there are now three guys who are in the mix there at the very least. I don't know how seriously Fernando Carmona is being considered as the starting right guard, but he's getting reps. And so with three guys there, who's getting those opportunities in the preseason games to go out and play with the first team offensive line? I think Volson starts on the offensive line, but do you want to get Slater out there for a series? Do you want to get Carmona out there for a series? That all plays a role in this too. That maybe there's a chance too that you put Trubisky out there with the first team offensive line and let them get reps. It doesn't have to be a full unit in, a full unit out. You could see them mix and match, and if the offensive line needs more reps, they stay out there. If Cam Ward needs more reps, you're not keeping him out there with the backup offensive line. It's a square is a rectangle, but not all rectangles are squares. Cam Ward's not out there with the offensive line, but you can leave the offensive line out there for Mitch Trubisky. There's a lot of moving parts here for Brian Dable and Robert Saleh on how they want to maneuver with the offense tomorrow night.
That's absolutely that's not a bad idea at all. Having Mitch Trubisky, you can play Cam Ward a couple series, maybe keep the offensive line out there for a whole quarter. But, you know, after those two series, all right, it's time for Mitch to come in. And Will Levis is going to get a lot of reps, too. I wonder if Hendon Hooker is going to get any type of reps, too.
So Robert Saleh said he's not – I believe he said not 100% making a promise, but he said all four quarterbacks are going to play. Maybe it's easier said than done, or maybe it's easier than I think it is in my mind, but Hendon Hooker is not getting team reps. Like, if he's not doing it in practice, do you trust him to go out and do it in a game?
Well, I mean, it's preseason. There's very little on the line. The only team reps that he got were when Mitch Trubisky was out.
Right. So I don't know.
Which is one day.
Do you trust him to go out there and execute the offense late? Maybe they don't care in the fourth quarter and they're just like, hey, Hendon, go sling it. Like, and see what
results
happens.
Really do not matter in preseason games.
Yeah,
so.
I guess, but are you going to be able to get everybody in the right situation, in the right spot? Like, that's my main concern. It's less about Hendon playing. It's more about – and Hendon Hooker's a very smart guy. We've seen that during his time at Tennessee and throughout the NFL. I think he would be fine, and I think he probably does get all of those mental reps, but – I do wonder how much we'll see him. I agree with you. I think it's going to be mostly Will Levis tomorrow.
Yeah, Will Levis is – I would imagine that, okay, Cam Ward gets a couple of series. Trubisky probably played
like
most
quarter.
Of the first half.
Yep.
You know, I could see Will Levis coming in at the end of the second quarter and then play
the
most
third.
Of the third, half of the fourth, and then maybe Hendon Hooker getting that back half of the fourth.
Yeah, I think that's probably the way it works out, but we'll see. The first preseason game – I think a lot of it needs to be just, hey, make sure everybody stays healthy out there. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Much more Titans talk to come in this final hour. We talked a lot about the offense in the first hour. I want to talk about the defense as well, because it did seem like they struggled against Brock Purdy and that 49ers offense yesterday. Robert Saleh had an explanation for it. I'm not 100% sure I'm buying it. We'll get to it next. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 1025 The Game.
How did this one feeling about your secondary? It seemed like they got behind you guys a couple of times there. Just ruining the scene on those.
There's a couple, you know, and again, we're going to see whether it was a technique issue or not. But, you know, overall, just feeling it. You know, this offense we went against today is one of the top five offenses in football. So there's a lot of back and forth in it, which was encouraging. You're not going to win every one-on-one, but at the same time, there's there's definitely things that we can learn from.
Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. That was Robert Saleh yesterday talking about the defense's performance as we get some Tavon Austin vibes in here late in the show. The defense yesterday, lots of reports that they couldn't keep the top on it. Big plays over the top, struggled in the red zone. I want to say I saw Purdy went 21 for 27 with a bunch of touchdowns and no turnovers yesterday. It's practice. I'm not a huge practice stats guy, but overall seems like it was a tough day for the defense. And Robert Saleh in that press conference yesterday made a comment about why things went the way they did. And it wasn't that's a top five offense in the league, because I get it. It is a top five offense in the league. And there are going to be times where you're going to face better teams than you, better offenses than you, and you're going to struggle. It happens. But he said Kyle Shanahan knows everything about this defense. And I understand that. But does that worry you at all? There's a chance that you face the 49ers at some point down the road, whether it's next year or I'm not going to get to the point where I'm going to say the Titans are in the Super Bowl. But there's going to be times where the other guy knows kind of what you like to do on defense. Does that mean you should be exposed every time? And also, shouldn't Robert Saleh know a lot of what Kyle Shanahan likes to do offensively? Again, this isn't a big concern of mine, but I saw that explanation and I was like, well, yeah, but he's a coach in this league. There are going to be coaches in this league who know your tendencies. Shouldn't you be able to counter that a little bit? I don't know, Parker. As our former quarterback, do you have any thoughts on Saleh saying, yeah, Shanahan knew this defense like the back of his hand, so of course he had a big day against it.
I heard him say that, and I was honestly, I couldn't believe that he said that. Saleh, is one of the better defensive minds in the NFL. And I thought, okay, well, Kyle Shanahan certainly, we talk about him and McVay as being the absolute best. They're coaching trees. We talk about, quarterbacks that are struggling, going to them to get their career back on the right path. So we all know what they are as offensive minds. But at the same time, too, if you're going to be this great defensive mind, I know Shanahan's one of the best at adjusting to what defenses do and masquerading things. But you should still know what his tendencies are. So I think it goes both ways, not just, Kyle Shanahan, right, he knows what we do on defense. Well, you should also know what he does on offense, too.
Yeah, that was, again, it's not a major concern of mine, but I just thought that was a little bit strange of, well, Kyle Shanahan knows this defense. I'm like, well, you practice against him for years and years, too. I feel like that should be a net zero.
Had two stints with him in San Francisco.
It should be a net zero of, yeah, I know a lot about you. You know a lot about me. We're going to know each other's tendencies. Let's see how it clashes. So I just thought that was a weird explanation for why the defense struggled yesterday.
He's seen how Shanahan has evolved throughout the years, because I know they played him when he was in New York as well. So think about all those years of, okay, this is what Shanahan does year after year. And I know that he changes his offense and changes certain things personnel-wise, but you would think that somebody as smart as Saleh would be able to pick up on that.
Yeah, I just thought that was a strange explanation for it. Again, doesn't really mean much. You don't face Shanahan this year, but there are going to be coaches. Everybody's got film on you. Everybody kind of knows what your defense is going to look like. You should still be able to affect the quarterback and make some plays defensively, which it doesn't seem like the Titans defense did much of yesterday. I know Nick Suss with Robbie and Joe this morning talked about Amani Hooker and some of his struggles. I'm not concerned about Amani Hooker, and I still lean more towards his down year last year being more about not having any help around him. I mean, you had injuries everywhere in the secondary last year, and even the guys who were healthy weren't very good. And I do think Amani Hooker was left trying to plug too many holes, right? Like, you've only got two hands. You can only do so much with the supporting cast that they gave him defensively last year. I think he's going to be better this year, but yesterday it just seemed like there wasn't a whole lot of progress made there, and he was giving up plays over the top, which, as you said, Robert Saleh's defense, you want the attacking front and you want to keep a lid on the defense and not let the explosive plays happen. Yesterday, it was not super successful, and Amani Hooker, a large reason for that.
that's what Salah said after the post, you know, post blue and white scrimmage on Friday night. There weren't a lot of explosive plays down the field for the Titans offense, and Salah was like, well, that's by design. Our defense doesn't give up anything behind us. And yet yesterday it seems like everything was going over their head. And this is just something that I've been thinking about. And Amani Hooker, I heard Robbie talking about it this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. Amani Hooker wasn't great last year. I don't even think he was that good, if I'm being honest. And it sounds like he wasn't that good at practice yesterday. So there's a cynical side of me where I hope that this doesn't mean physical decline of Amani Hooker. Amani Hooker's not old, but he's got football age. So I hope that we're not seeing the physical decline of Amani Hooker in any way.
Amani Hooker has been in the league. This is now year 7 for him, year 8 for him. Now he's only—
how old is he?
He's only 28 years old.
So yeah, I mean, he's not super old, but I mean, he wasn't great, and he's had his share of injuries.
Yeah, last year, I mean, yeah, he has never played. Actually, so I forgot. Back in 16 games, he's played two 16-game seasons his first 2 years in the league, where he wasn't really asked to do quite as much. He was a player for this team, but he was more of a role player who came in here and there. He only started 3 games his first 2 years in the league. Since he has been a starter every single game, he has never finished a complete season. He did play 16 games last year, so very close. But it was one of his worst years as a pro. Did he have any interceptions last year? No. Coming off of a 5-interception year in 2024 that got him the extension, he did
not
turn
the
ball over.
It was a good year for Amani Hooker, but he wasn't good last year. And I know, again, he's 28 years old, so that's not old, but all those injuries, they start to add up.
Yeah, this secondary, there's reasons for optimism for it, right? Amani Hooker has proven to be a good player in this league during his career, and he's still 28. Kevin Winston, there's a lot of excitement around him. You brought in two big ticket cornerbacks in free agency, but I think there's also a reason for some skepticism, and we're going to find out pretty early what this secondary is made of. You get now the Jets, you got Geno Smith throwing him the football, which I've heard things out of Jets camp that he has not looked very good. But
he's going to save the Jets.
Yes, he is.
Aaron Glenn. He's going to lead them to the promised land.
He's going to be the savior for the Jets. And looking at their receiver depth chart, though, like, you're going to see some tough matchups in week one. Of course, Garrett Wilson is still there with the Jets, and he's been one of the best receivers in football, given his quarterback talent, since he's been drafted. A.D. Mitchell is there. He looked better after the trade over from Indianapolis. You got Omar Cooper, a first-round pick. So there's some talent there. And then week two, Devontae Smith. You got Mekhi Lemon as a rookie. You got a ton of tight ends. So this secondary is going to be tested early on. I'm interested to see if the moves they made this offseason and the development of some of the young guys leads to a better group on the back end than we've seen. But obviously yesterday against the 49ers was not their best day. Brock Purdy seemed to be able to take whatever he wanted in the joint practice. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Still lots more to get to in our final couple of segments on this Wednesday. Preseason opener tomorrow. With all of this put together that we've talked about, I think we do need to remember one thing heading into the preseason opener tomorrow in San Francisco, because there are going to be overreactions one way or the other. Some of them may be valid, some of them not so much. We'll talk about it next. 615-737-1025, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. A couple more segments on this Wednesday. If you missed it, Corey Curtis did join us. He could not be in studio. He is traveling today, going to be on the sideline for the Titans preseason opener tomorrow against the 49ers. 8 o'clock kick on News 2, so you can tune in with him there. But he did join us for a segment at 10:45. Tomorrow, TD also on the road. He was out at joint practice yesterday. He's still on the West Coast for the preseason game. He will join us at 11 a.m. tomorrow for a couple of segments. So excited to have TD on to get ready for the preseason opener. Tomorrow is game day. And we've been talking about it with Robert Saleh saying everybody who's healthy is going to play. You're going to see the starters out there, and that includes Cam Ward, that includes the offensive line, likely includes Jeffrey Simmons. The only players that we know aren't healthy right now, and correct me if I'm missing anybody, Parker, John Franklin Myers, Jacob Martin, Cordell Flott, and Jackie Marshall are the only four that I believe were mentioned yesterday that are dealing with injuries.
Yes, that would be right.
I believe that's everybody. But Robert Saleh said, if you're healthy, you're going to be out there tomorrow night. So I do want to say, let's remember last year's opening drive against Tampa Bay. In that preseason game, Titans went right down the field. Cam Ward made a nice throw to Calvin Ridley. He had all the time in the world.
That was a nice throw to Calvin Ridley, too.
I remember that was our main takeaway, and this was probably a week into doing our show. So we overreacted a little bit. We're like, man, this offensive line, it looked good last night. That was the Bucs' backups. They did not have the starters out there, and the 49ers are doing
no
the
Vita
same.
No Vita Vea out there.
Right. It was not their top line defensive line out there. It's not going to be the top guys for the 49ers out there on the defensive front. I think the expectation needs to be that the offensive line is going to be able to protect Cam Ward. Now, these guys are all getting paid. They're all professionals. The second string guys for the 49ers are still capable pass rushers. So it's not a disaster if Cam Ward is flustered here or there or gets sacked. But I think the expectation when your head coach is saying everybody's playing and their head coach is saying our guys got their work, they're not going to play on Thursday night, the expectation should be that the Titans' first stringers should dominate, or at the very least should look competent out there and be able to put points on the board.
Which means that we shouldn't overreact like we were doing yesterday with the joint practice, because it is the backups. It isn't the starters. Fred Warner's not out there playing.
Right.
So you should look how you looked in the blue and white scrimmage. I'd say that would be, if you were able to accomplish that, then that's a good solid day.
And again, it's still preseason. I'm not saying sound the panic alarms if the Titans offense goes three and out on the first drive. They're working through some things, but I think that we, including us and Titans fans, Titans media, last year, I just remember coming out of the Tampa game and you're like, man, the offensive line was a question mark, but they looked really good. That was a strong pocket. I'm half expecting it to look the same tomorrow night, where Cam Ward has plenty of time to throw.
4 seconds to throw like he had.
Right, makes plays down the field. And we just got to remember, this is not the 49ers starting defense that's going to be out there. In fact, I mean, who knows how many of the 49ers players could even be out there if Kyle Shanahan wanted them to be. I mean, half that team's injured. So, again, just it's preseason. I know Trey puts a lot of stock into the preseason. He told us earlier these are the foundational games. This is what builds it for you. But Brian Callahan won more preseason games than he did regular season games.
That is such a – I knew that, but that just hearing you say that is just sad.
He went 5-1 in the
so
preseason.
Sad.
4-19 in the regular season.
Oh, my gosh. That's so sad.
There are going to be things that you can take from tomorrow night. And, again, I think the expectation should be that the Titans' first team offense and defense has some success because you're playing backups. Like, you should have some success tomorrow, but – I also think it's preseason. These are not where championships are won and lost. A lot of the takeaways that you're going to be able to make will be minor, if any, from tomorrow night's game against the 49ers.
Yeah, you're going to see lots of Romello Height tomorrow, lots of Bryson Eason, former Vol.
Yeah, Vol for life.
CJ West, I don't know. He's a starter, so he may not play a whole lot, or if at all. So, yeah, lots of Romello Height coming at you. And what, Sammy O?
Sam O, he was on the Titans for a little bit there. Sam Okawanu, is that how you pronounce
good
it?
Enough.
Something
good enough.
Like that. I think it was close. 4312 on the text line says the substation didn't take anyone out. It was a good practice. Yeah. No major injuries as far as we know. Knock on wood from practice yesterday. So you'll take that. You'll take that considering all the talk about the substation for heading into yesterday's joint practice. Jeff on the text line says, I'm not pulling for any backup quarterback, but how are we able to evaluate QB play when they are playing behind the backup tryouts for a bad O-line of starters? Well, they're playing third stringers too. So, like, I think it's more – I'm assuming this is about Levis tomorrow. Like, with Will Levis, it's more about the operation than it is the results. Is he making the right reads? If he's getting sacked because the offensive line can't hold up and he's getting instant pressure, well, that's not necessarily on Will Levis. But if he's throwing balls right in between the numbers of a defensive back, or if he's rolling out and slipping and then tossing the ball to a defensive lineman, that's when you'll have problems with Will Levis. I think you still can make an evaluation, even if it's backups on both sides of the football for Will Levis, and he can put something on film that could be intriguing to the rest of the league. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Corey Curtis just texted me, actually, Parker.
Saying what?
He said, I saw odds for the first college coach fired and Dabo wasn't on it. They're delusional. I mean,
I can't wait until Waffle House, Corey.
I see, with Corey and his Dabo thing about him getting fired, it's possible. Like, James Franklin and Brian Kelly probably weren't on those odds list at the beginning of last year. So it's very possible. But to act like he's on the hot seat and if they get off to an 0-2 start, he's out the door. Although, Georgia Southern is their second game? So maybe, yes. Maybe an 0-2 start would be. But if they get off to a slow start, then he's out the door. I don't think that's the case.
As badly as I want to call Corey crazy, I can't. Because last year, if we were to go back into time machine, we're in the preseason. Penn State and LSU are both preseason national championship contenders. And I were to tell you that James Franklin and Brian Kelly would both be fired before Halloween, you would have called me crazy. But it happened. And so I'm not going to call Corey crazy. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think Dabo Swinney could go 0-12 at Clemson next year, and his legacy is firmly established. A guy that went toe-to-toe with Nick Saban in his prime and beat him twice in the national championship.
Yep. No, Dabo's a great coach, and I don't think anybody can take that away from him. I do think eventually the leash will run out on him, and Clemson will pull the plug. I don't know I just don't think it's this year. I don't think he's that close to being fired.
Yeah, I mean, think about how long, because Dabo Swinney is kind of similar to Mike Gundy in the way they don't want to adopt the new age of college football.
Yeah.
Not that they can't, they just refuse to do so. Think about how long Oklahoma State held on to Mike Gundy before they fired him.
Yeah.
A long time.
And he didn't win any national championships
No. Didn't even sniff the college football playoff in the 12-team era.
Corey did send me who the number one odds to be fired is. Do you know who it would be?
It's got to be Norvell.
Yep, Mike Norvell is number one. Which did remind me, Fox NFL tweeted this out yesterday, the early NFL Coach of the Year odds. Robert Saleh tied for second.
With?
Jesse Minter.
Who was number one?
John Harbaugh, which makes sense. Yeah. You know, the pedigree he has and going to the Giants. But yeah, Robert Saleh tied for second. There are a lot of first year head coaches on here: Harbaugh, Minter, Saleh, Clint Kubiak. Also in the top six: Kellen Moore, Ben Johnson, and Brian Schottenheimer.
The Bears are getting pretty injured right now.
Yeah,
they just lost Kobe Bryant.
Yeah,
or he's at least going to miss all of the regular season. They're hopeful to get him back for the playoffs. They've had a couple
other
under,
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, other Obi Kobe Bryant. Other Kobe Bryant, yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We've got one more segment left with you on this Wednesday. We will wrap up the show coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 The Game.
I want you to text Jake Lyman and tell him that Will Levis isn't going anywhere.
Now, why do you say that?
Because he hasn't been fully evaluated. He's had crap coaching for all of his years of him being here. Him and Borgonzi is basically from the same area, and he was probably the number one quarterback in that area when Borgonzi was a scout. Now he's on Borgonzi's team. Borgonzi, I'm sure everybody else in Titan Nation want to see him, you know, succeed and do well. But I don't think they're going to. It would be unrealistic for the Titans to get rid of Will Levis.
Wow. Chase texted me yesterday, and he did follow through on what Trey asked him to do. Text Jake Lyman, tell him that Will Levis is not going anywhere.
they're from the same area. Why would they?
They're both from New England.
He was the number one quarterback in that area in high school.
You have to get rid of that guy. You have to keep him now. Trey, just constant entertainment. Love him or hate him, you listen. With Trey.
One of the biggest characters at this station is not even employed at this station.
I love Trey. The back and forth on all the quarterbacks is so strange. Like, he seemed relatively complimentary of Cam Ward today, saying they've got Cam Ward on the – he's on the path. He's progressing. He's going to get the Titans to compete for the South this year, but you can't get rid of Will Levis. He hasn't been properly evaluated. He's been here for 3 years. Like, I just –
seems proper to me. I know his future here is done. That's what I do know. Or else they wouldn't have drafted Cam Ward number one overall.
The Levis revisionist history, I think, is hilarious. Because I was on the Joe and Robbie call him the Cam Dews, whatever you want to cut. He wills heading into the 2024 season. I thought I saw a lot from Will Levis in 2023 that made you excited. But anybody who thinks he didn't get a fair shake did not watch him play in 2024. I mean, he lost that job multiple times. The Bengals game always stands out to me. And you can say that Callahan had a lot to do with it, and that's true. But it's tough. In this league, if you're not a high-end first-round pick and you don't live up to expectations and prove you're the guy, they're going to move on. And the Titans moved on with Cam Ward. Levis needs to go. I said it yesterday with Connor and Nick, and Connor agreed with me. I haven't seen anything in practice that makes me think the Titans need to keep a third quarterback, right? Like, watching Will Levis, he's not making it difficult, right? Like, he's not making it hard for Mike Borgonzi, who grew up in the same area with him and was a scout when he was the number one quarterback in the area. He's not making it difficult for him to cut him. I think you hope that Will Levis, somebody is willing to give him something, give up something in a trade, and these preseason games are going to be important for him raising his stock. But I don't think you've seen anything in practice so far that makes you think the Titans are going to keep him as a third quarterback.
If anything, it's been more of the same. And there's legitimate talk about trading him so that you can get as much value, because, I mean, he's just going to be a free agent next year and you're not going to re-sign him.
Yeah, right. He's heading into an expiring deal. If you can get any kind of value for him, you take it. You take it and run.
Honestly, I mean, they could afford to keep two quarterbacks, but... And maybe keep one on the practice squad just in case, you know, as in the emergency.
I think Hooker probably ends up being the practice squad quarterback. I think somebody claims Levis. Like, I think if you cut Levis, somebody would claim him if it wouldn't cost them anything, right? People may not want to give up a draft pick, and I don't know that. We'll see. But I think if you cut Levis, he's gone. Like, he's not going to make it back to your practice squad.
Max, you get a 6th round for him. Max.
I agree.
7th's probably fair.
Based on what we're seeing right now, right? But, like, Levis, he's got 3 preseason games to go prove it. But me saying I think Hooker ends up on the practice squad doesn't mean I'd take Hooker over Levis. I've heard that conversation from people saying Hooker's better than Levis. The league's telling you what they think of Hendon Hooker so far.
That is true. Been a journeyman. Spent some time with the Jets last year.
Yeah, I mean, and he's fine. Like, I like Hendon Hooker. I thought he was an okay prospect coming out. And again, I watched him at Virginia Tech. I don't think he ever had the God-given ability to be an NFL quarterback. And that's the difference between him and Levis, is Levis has all of the traits that you want in a quarterback. And I think coaches might look at that and say, if we coach him upright, we can get something out of this. I think Hendon Hooker, you know his ceiling. You know what he can be. He's coachable, and you can get him to his max, but his max is not nearly as high as what Will Levis's ceiling is.
Yeah, Josh Heupel has the ability to work, get every last drop out of the sponge as possible with quarterbacks. Yeah. And he did that with Hendon Hooker. And, I mean, there's, you know, talk that Josh Heupel's offense, which you run in college, doesn't translate to the NFL. I think we've seen that. You know, Joe Milton – Hendon Hooker, you know, guys like that. Dylan Gabriel played in his system at UCF.
Yeah, it doesn't translate as well as you'd like it to. And they made changes to make it a little bit more pro style, but yeah, you've seen Hendon Hooker was a good college quarterback, didn't translate to the NFL level. 9355 says, so if we see significant decline out of Ward through the season, how long do they continue to evaluate him? I mean, if he's getting worse throughout the season, I think you might have a conversation coming up this offseason. Like that,
sure.
That is how fast things happen. And if Cam Ward, you're not seeing progress and he doesn't look good and you have another 3 or 4 win season, like, yeah, I think there's a conversation. Now, I don't know if that means you're drafting a quarterback next year. I think it would be more of a bring somebody in to compete with him, which
kind of like the Vikings did, you know, bringing in like Kyler Murray.
And when you do that, you're kind of telling on yourself a little bit of if you're willing to do that, the ship might have already sailed. But I think that being a first overall pick, unless you're seeing, as the texter says, significant decline out of Ward, Cam's going to get a longer leash than Will Levis because you picked him first overall, right? Like that,
if that happens, I'd see year three being the make or break, like we've talked about.
I think if you are a second-round quarterback, you're going to get 2 years to prove yourself. And Will Levis got – he didn't play all of those games in 2 years, but he got 20 starts to prove himself, and he wasn't good enough, so they moved on. I do think when you're picked as high as Cam Ward is, a lot of people's jobs are depending on Cam Ward being successful, including the guy who would be making the decision of what happens with the quarterback in Mike Borgonzi. He's going to get a long leash unless it's just a complete disaster. And I don't expect it to be a complete disaster this year. I think he's going to be better. The question is, how much better will Cam Ward be? And tomorrow night, it'll be good to see him out there. Good to see him out there with the offensive line, getting a first look at this Titans team in a game atmosphere. But again, as we talked about in the last segment, Parker, you are facing backups. So the expectation should be that the Titans are successful when the first team is out there because they are playing the second team and some of the third team, some of these guys who are going to be further down the roster for the 49ers to start the game.
Yeah, you should look good. I think a good baseline would be offensive production, what it was in the blue and white scrimmage. If you look like that, I'll leave feeling good.
Yeah, I agree. I think you want to see a couple of plays made. You'd love to see Carnell Tate get involved in the offense early on, Cam Ward and him continuing to develop that connection. And I'll say I think Wandale Robinson probably is going to be used early on. Brian Daboll's going to script this drive to start out. I think that they're going to try and get some quick hitters for Cam Ward just to get him in a little bit of a rhythm early on in this game tomorrow night against the Buccaneers. I cannot believe it. It's game day tomorrow. For the first time since that fateful day in January where the Titans played in Jacksonville. And what a game that was. Tomorrow is game day. The Titans and the 49ers. 8 o'clock kick out there in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium. And we will have coverage all day today, all day tomorrow, getting you ready for that game, continuing to prepare for the Titans preseason opener. And again, tomorrow on the show, TD can't do the full show. He's out there in California. He'll be covering the game live from Santa Clara, but he is going to join us for a couple of segments at 11 a.m. So looking forward to that. Parker and I will talk a lot of Titans, a lot of NFL, not just the Titans playing tomorrow. We'll get to see Fernando Mendoza in action for the first time in an NFL uniform tomorrow, too. So we'll preview some of the other games going on around the league. But that does it for us. Keep it right here. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.